We're going to take today, the name of today's title of today's lesson is called The Trump Challenge. The Trump Challenge. What is the Trump Challenge? Well, before I answer that, who's giving us this challenge? The answer is God. Amen. God has given us this challenge. What is the challenge that God is giving us today as His people? The challenge from the Lord is for us to see, to view, and to understand the Trump presidency from God's perspective. You hear that? To see, to view, and understand the Trump presidency. The fact that Donald J. Trump is president. See that from God's perspective. Yeah. As we started on Wednesday night, the people of God are being swallowed up with secular public opinion and attitudes and mindsets. And the Lord God is want to call His people back to His word. Amen. And see this through the eyes of God. So the first step in doing this, step number one, you should recognize that President Trump has been made in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
We need to recognize those things. I'm glad he's here today. Phyllis, see? Pray for him. That's your assignment. That's your last hill. That's your assignment. Because I've tried. I failed. I can't. So we need to recognize President Trump, Lance Cockcroft Hill, for the tape, as being made in the image and likeness of God. And see, quiet as it's kept. It's kept real quiet. Sister April pointed out on Wednesday. So
excuse me, Windows Google activation client needs your attention.
Oh, be quiet. So was Adolf Hitler made in the image and likeness of God?
Amen.
Look at Genesis chapter 1. Oh, you mean you're turning actually to the Bible? Yes. Because that's what's going to get you through this, is the word of God. My opinions and my philosophy and my theories aren't going to help you at all, because you can fire back at me with your opinions, your philosophy, and your theory. Excuse the pun, but God's word trumps everything. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 1. And see, you all know inside your heart and mind that you're feeling some type of way toward Him. Am I right?
Amen.
Yeah, I know we are. And I love the honesty that some of you have come up, you know, been honest about it. Because the only way you get through this is to first be honest about it.
Amen.
Look at verse 26, Genesis chapter 1. Then God said. Then who said?
God
said. Thank you, Paul. He was real rambunctious on that. That's all right. This is not somebody's opinion. Then God said, let us make man. So think about this. This is day 6. Okay? 1 through 5, you have creation of the sun, moon, and stars, the planets, and so forth. The creation of the trees and the grass and all that. Then the creation of the animals. But before He makes man, the word of God says, let us make man. So there's this quote unquote what I call a divine huddle. Mm-hmm. Us, plural. Elohim, plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before they make man, there's this huddle because they're about to make something extremely different from everything and anything else in the entire universe that's been created. And this goes along with the teaching that we had about evolution. Man is not an animal. Man is distinctly different from any and every mankind. Man meaning mankind, human beings, are distinctly different from every and all other creation. That's not, don't take this lightly. This is God saying through Moses. Remember, Moses wrote the first five books. God is saying through Moses. This is what God is saying. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. I know it's like God is saying, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're saying, you know, man, we can't make, I can't make another me. I can't make another God. You know, there's several things God can't do. God can do anything. There are several things God can't do. That's not true that God can do everything, because he can't lie. Do you realize that God can't create another God? You know why? Because that God would be a created being and not eternal. So that's something God cannot do, is create himself. And you know he couldn't do that. But what he did say, but I'm going to create this being, and we're going to give them our characteristics and our qualities. Not that we are as holy as God and as powerful as God. We're not God, but we do carry and bear the image and likeness of God. We're going to explain it in a hot second. That was uniquely and distinctly placed upon man that no other creature has. Dogs, cats, animals aren't made in the image and likeness of God. But man is. Father God, we take this lightly. Basically, everybody in here knows about this verse, but I believe we have no idea what it really means. I ask for you to reveal it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, the church, today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. This is something that we don't understand. We really don't. Because I don't care how crooked somebody's acting, they're still made in the image and likeness of God. And that's an on-purpose, deliberate act. That was divinely arrived. This decision was divinely arrived. It was a predetermined, on-purpose thing to do, that we're going to make man in our image and in our likeness. We're going to let them rule over the fish of the sea. So just as God has ultimate dominion, we're going to make man like a little bit, you know, some of our characteristics. Let him have dominion over root fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created them. And that's somehow much image, likeness, image, just all over that. And yet and still, as children of God, we don't understand really fully why God did that, why he went off into that. And we're kind of, to be honest with you, we've kind of been influenced by secular thought. I mean, maybe we don't believe that we're animals, but I don't know if we really understand just how far above animals we are. Oh, we act like animals, but we are not animals. We may act like it, but the bottom line is we're made in the image and likeness of God. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. What happened in Genesis chapter 3? Say what? The fall, meaning man sinned. Right? What chapter is this we're about to turn to? Chapter 5. So has man fallen? Is he in sin? Look at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Uh-oh, the likeness and image of God was not destroyed because of the fall. It was marred. It was tainted, spoiled, sullied, but it was not destroyed after the in the fall. It did great damage. You got me? But it's still there. I want you to hear me. Man sinned, but in chapter 5, he's still talking about the image and likeness. Turn to chapter 9. Look at Genesis chapter 9. This is God speaking to Noah after the flood. Chapter 9, verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, because in the image of God he made man. So it's serious that when you kill man because he was made in the image of God, you got to forfeit your life. But look at the reasoning. Because he was made in the image of God. Let's define this. And I'm going to give you like summations and things like that. First of all, theologians have debated for years as to what exactly this means. So I won't be dogmatic, but I think I'm comfortable in giving you a roundabout interpretation. Most theologians agree that image and likeness are pretty much the same thing. They're synonymous. So we won't necessarily break those two things apart. So having said that, being created in the image of God means that we have, I'm going to give you like 9 characteristics and then kind of say things. I'm going to repeat things too and all that. It means that we have like 9. Oh, and by the way, as I said before, being made in the image of God, again, sets us apart from the animal kingdom. Okay, this and you say, yeah, okay, we hear you. But you got to believe there are millions who believe that man and animal are basically the same thing. We're just a higher form of animal. We're not animals at all. We're humans, a completely different species, and we have the image of God in us. So I want to keep reminding you of that, because that's crucial that you understand that. Number one, creating an image of God means that we have personhood. We're persons. Personhood, meaning we are persons. Two, we have the ability to have and enjoy relationships, not only with each other, but also with God. Two, we have the ability to have and enjoy relationships not only with each other, but also with God. Something an animal can't do. An animal is not a person. Three, we have an understanding of right and wrong. We understand right and wrong. We are moral beings. Remember, Romans 2 speaks about the fact that God has placed in all man his law on the inside. And gave us a conscience so that when we trip that law, the conscious alarm goes off and says, hey, you're not doing right. That's placed in man. Four, we have the ability to reason, think things through, come to a conclusion. Reason. Personhood, number one, ability to enjoy relationships, 3, understanding of right and wrong. 4, the ability to reason. 5, we have will. W-I-L-L. We have a will. 6, we have intellect. We're intelligent beings. 7, we have emotion. 8, we were created morally pure. That means that we were created, if you want to make this number 9, good and without sin. So we have personhood, we have ability to have and enjoy relationships, we understand right and wrong, we have ability to reason, we have will, intellect, emotion, we were created morally pure without something morally pure and created good and without sin. That's all of those are facets of the image of God. So I have here in my notes, thus we conclude that bearing the image of God enables us to share some of his spiritual and mental capacities. And that's kind of the nutshell of it. It means that we can understand his revelation, formulate plans, have fellowship with him, and reflect his attributes. Reflect his attributes. And one of those is dominion, as we saw in verse 26. Another way of looking at it is we have the ability to reflect the Lord's holy character. We have that ability. And by the way, being made in the image of likeness of God does not include our body. It refers to our spirit and our soul and our mind, because God has no body. So this is referring to our spirit and mind and soul. Now, I'll say this, the body does serve as a vehicle through which we can manifest the image of God, right? We use our body to do good things, to do that which is right, to reflect his holy character. That's manifested through our actions, which is through our body. Now, again, the fall did not destroy it, completely destroy it, but what it did damage to it. But it's still there in every single human being. We talked about this before. That's why gangsters can go kill 900 people, but on Thanksgiving, pull up a big freight 18-wheeler with baskets of Thanksgiving and hand it out to the neighborhood. Just pull up right into the neighborhood and hand it out. Killing on one hand, but here there's some of that is not all damaged. That's why you see people who are terrible people can do this, you know, kindness. They call it the milk of human kindness. That's what the world calls it. We know it's called the image and likeness of God. Listen, because man is made in the image and likeness of God, as we saw the warning with Noah, when he said, if man sheds man's blood, his blood will be shed because man is made in the image and likeness of God. That means that's a warning there. Because man is made in the image, we must be careful not to speak evil of or curse man, lest we find ourselves speaking against and cursing God. He said, now you got to show me that in scripture. So if I speak evil of, now, I'm not talking about somebody does something wrong, it's ungodly, it's unholy, and you call that sin a sin. I'm not talking about that. You know, when you're just dogging somebody out, as opposed to having righteous indignation. And if you hear Holy Spirit, you'll find out that probably a lot of Trump comments are not righteous indignation. We're just giving opinions about this and that. Now, look at this dude. He crazy, this and that. Look what he's saying now. It says, look what he's saying now. Look at it. Every time we say something, we should be on our knees. Our knees ought to have big calluses on them because you should be driven to prayer. And that's what we ought to do. It doesn't say, ain't he crazy? He sure is. You know, and it's easy to, at this point, it's easy to get black, white, blue, or brown to join into your conversation. Or it's easy for you to join into theirs. But is that the godly thing? Does that look like we're being, are we reflecting the image of God when we just join in with everybody else? Which is what I believe God's people have done. Just joined in. Are we distinct, separate, and apart? Are we reflecting God's image when we do that as his children? Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And look at verse 7. So the Lord is going to issue, the Lord is issuing another challenge here, the question, what ought to be our heart attitude? And I use that phrase, heart attitude. What ought to be our heart attitude towards President Trump as people of God? What ought to be our heart attitude toward President Trump as people of God? Or as people of God, what ought to be our heart attitude toward President Trump? Notice I'm putting that in an emphatic position. As people of God, what ought to be our heart attitude toward President Trump? Look at James chapter 3, verse 7. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. That's why you got to be careful when you go to wagging your tongue toward President Trump or anyone. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Shouldn't be this way. Look at verse 9. He said, with it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men. He could have just stopped there, period. We bless God, curse men. But he put a comma there and reminded us who have been made in the likeness of God. So notice he's putting cursing and blessing God and men as being one connected to the other. So when you curse, when you bless men, you're blessing God, because they're made in the image and likeness of God. When you curse men, you're speaking against God. Curse means speak evil of, to say that which is not right and things of that nature. Bless means speak well of. So the thing about it is, we need to realize, are we speaking evil of or cursing, not talking about profanity, to speak evil of President Trump? Or are we just, you know, have we crossed the line into speaking evil of him? Or are we just saying, well, you know, that's really not right. Let's maybe pray about that. Which is a wholly different attitude than just speaking evil of them. Lord God says, when you do that, that's what you're cursing men. And when you do that, that person is made in the image and likeness of God. God is saying, remember that. Be careful. Because out of the same mouth, you're blessing me. And you're cursing men as if they have nothing to do with me. That's the point I want to make. Help me, Lord Jesus. That's what I want to make. Nope. God is saying, nope, there's a connection. It ain't like you can't just bless me and then curse men and think those are just two separate different things. No, they're connected because man is made in my image. That's my creation. Have some respect for that. Watch your mouth. Because every person in some way, shape, or form reflects the power, I mean not the power, rather, but reflects the image of God. Every person in some way, shape, or form. And all people are made in the image and likeness of God. You got to remember that. And they still reflect that in some way. And that's why our treatment of others, I like how one preacher put it, our treatment of others reveals what we think of God, our Creator. That's strong language. It's amazing how I can clearly hear the motor in here because it is so quiet in here. And I love it. I'm going to say it again. Our treatment of others reveals what we think of God, our Creator. Because God created you, created me, He created President Trump. The same God that created you in His image, me in His image, created President Donald J. Trump in His image. One preacher said, quote, if you've been cruel to another, go and apologize and remember that if you are cruel to His image, you are sinning against God, end quote. Now, we can't go and apologize to Him, but you can say, Lord, forgive me if I said anything out of the way. Anything that crossed that line to where I'm speaking evil of someone who's created in Your image, I ask for Your forgiveness. I repent right now in the name of Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Well, you don't know what kind of guy he is. That's not your, you're not going to change him anyway, talking about him 400 miles from him. You ain't nowhere near him. And even you said it to his face, you're not going to change him. It's not about who he is. It's about you doing us, doing what's right toward him. Notice I said, the question again was, what, as people of God, what ought to be our heart attitude toward President Trump? What ought to be our heart attitude is realize he's made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore let's apply prayer to his situation and keep praying for him. And if there is any good that he is doing, then let help us to recognize that, help us to see the grace of God in that. Because right now, I'm quite sure there are many people who believe that he can do no good. And therefore, any good he does do, it's either disregarded or just completely ignored. And so we want to take our place, rightful place. And I love the song, take our place as lights in the darkness, not joining with the darkness. Mm-hmm. Let's take our place, word of God, a word of light, as lights in the darkness. Love these quotes. Quote somebody, remember, all men are created equal and all men must be treated with kindness. Here's a directive. Take some time to meditate on the fact that God has made all men in His image. And remember that because of that, of this image, we must be kind and respectful to others. And what did Jesus say to your enemy? Well, I think he's an enemy. He's an enemy of the black people. But he said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Jesus said to pray for your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. So if you feel he is an enemy, turn to St. Matthew chapter 5. Then this is what we need to do. Look at St. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 43. Verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Notice how he said, you have heard that it has been said. Those were wrong teachers. They were teaching the wrong thing. And Jesus was saying, you've heard this and what's implied for many years as tradition and almost as doctrine. You're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's never what God is saying. That's why I said you've heard this, but you didn't hear from God. You didn't hear from any of your forefathers, whether it be Moses or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel, Obadiah. You didn't hear from them, but yet you've heard this. But I say unto you, that is a statement showing absolute authority. Your rabbis and your teachers have taught you this for years. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, that's not right. I'm teaching you, I'm talking to you as one having complete autonomous authority. And I'm ruling out, I'm deleting what they've told you. I'm overriding that. And I'm telling you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Not hate your enemies, as in verse 43, as your rabbi teachers have taught you. I'm telling you, love your enemies. And I'm telling you something, go further than that. Bless them that curse you. Speak well of them. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which spitefully use you and persecute you. That's strong language. And he tells you why. That you may be children of your Father, which is children, that you may be, meaning that you may be shown to be children of God. Remember the question again. As people of God, what ought to be our heart attitude? Now that phrase is right on point. Get your mind right. Because it's been thrown way off. As people of God. Not black people. Not white people. As people of God. First. I told you. First, we're people of God. That still haven't got in there either. That's still, Father God, help us to get that. We're people of God first. Then we're black people. Then you're showing to be children of God. Because look what God does. Look what God does. For God maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Is it always cloudy wherever Trump goes? No. There's sun there. There's rain on his crops. And sends rain on just and unjust. Then we need to show our love toward those who are unlovable. Appear to be unlovable. Not just be kind to people that we love. Said, you know, when you greet those who greet you, you ain't doing more than a sinner who don't even know God. The sinner does that. God calls us to be better than that. To be distinctly separate and apart from that. Don't just blend in. Let the church rise. And take our place as lights in the darkness. And it's dark. Amen. Shame on us when we blend in with the darkness. Shame on us. Look at verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? The publicans, tax collectors? The most vile dregs of our society at that time, you're doing no more than them. And what an indictment when he tells them that. If you love those who love you, what are you doing? If you salute, though, verse 47, if you salute your brothers only, what do you more than the others? That are even publicans and say. Go back to verse 13. Bless you. Go back to verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5. Yes, sir. You're the salt of the earth. But the salt has become tasteless, lost its saltiness, its power. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for nothing, except to be thrown out, trampled on the foot of men. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. One of the things that salt does is preserve. Preserve. Like you put salt. Back in the day, they didn't have ice. Not yet. So to preserve meat, they would salt it down to preserve it so it wouldn't spoil. How many conversations are spoiled and we don't add any salt to it? And it just remains rotten. We join in the rottenness of the conversation. We're the salt of the earth. Preserve that. Let your speech be seasoned with what? Salt. That it may bring grace to administer grace. We're the grace of God in our speech. How about, man, I'm praying for him. You know, dude, that ain't right. I feel that's a little shady what he said. It is, you know, but I'm, you know what I'm going to do about that? I'm going to pray about it. Because me talking to you about it not going to change nothing. Let me get my God in this. Hallelujah. I'm almost spoken to him. I'm going to go sat tight. That's how you do that.
Yes, sir.
Help us, Father. Then you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be. Look at verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all in the house. What we're doing is covering our light. When we join in, when we don't, are distinct about that. Where is our shining light? Would you say leave the light on? Somebody's pulled the string, turned it out. So there's darkness everywhere. And you know what? If you don't bring the light, because you're capable, because you got the light inside of you, then who's going to bring it? Who's going to change this conversation? Us, we're responsible. One of the things we need to know is that he's made an image and likeness of God. And I'm going to treat him as such as unto the Lord. Not because he deserves it, because God is glorified. Why was man made in the image and likeness of God? For the glory of God. Do you see that? Help us to see that. It's not about him. It's not even about dishonoring him. It is as you are dishonoring God. No, you honor God, you honor him. That's what God said. You can't bless me and then curse him. No, don't separate that like that. See me in all of that. Yeah, you bless me and bless me through him because he's made in my image. And if I love the Lord God, remember what you think about God is how you're going to treat other people. Once you get the understanding, they're made in his image and in his likeness. And God huddled up and did that. So that's an on purpose thing there that he's made in his image and in his likeness. And also, I want you to understand something else. Realize that President Trump is there by God's appointment.
Yes.
We don't like that one. I love Miss Mealy. She just closed her eyes and just. I love it. I love it. But I love the honesty. But it's real. Do you think he just came up out of the blue and overpowered God and beat him up and I'm going to take the White House. I'm going to beat up God. No. He's allowed there by God. Deep breath. I saw it. Yes. Amen. Amen. But God allowed him to be there. And in this church, we're so blessed because we've gone over the sovereignty of God. We've gone over the providence of God. So I thank God that saying this, you can pull in on those reserves or that information and say, okay. Does that make him perfect? No. Does it make him holy? No. Does he make him a Christian? No. But he is there by God's divine providence, so that means he is serving a purpose for God's eternal purpose and plan. Think about that. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. You know it many times, but let's go over it again. Isaiah 46. Verse 8. The Lord God is speaking to us. Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this word of life and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. I'm not saying that's toward you per se. Remember the former things long past, for I am God. And there is no one like me. I am God. I'm sorry, and there's no other rather. I am God, and there is no one like me. So first of all, remember that word of life. As we're taking the Trump challenge. Remember, I am God. And there is no one like me. I'm God, and there is no other. Declaring the end, how everything turns out, from the beginning, forever got started. And from ancient times, as symbolic for back, which things which have not been done. So God has already declared the Trump presidency in eternity past.
Yes, sir.
Why did God do it? Why? Here's the answer right here. You're not going to like it, but here's the answer from God. Saying, my purpose will be established. I will accomplish all my good pleasure. That's why he did it. Because he's serving a purpose and he's establishing God's good pleasure. That's why he did it. See how the word just shut all that down? You don't argue that. You don't like it. That's between you and the Lord. But you got word now. Somehow, this guy, and don't call him a fool. This world we just got started. Amen. Amen. That's what we say. You know, this fool serving a God for, I don't understand what this clown, you know, we got all these other, you know, all other words and not speaking evil. Word of life, let's be real. Let's speak in evil. As we put God in the forefront, put him out there in front and mix them all into this. We say, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep this verse before me because President Trump is serving your purpose. Through President Trump's presidency, your purpose is being established and you're accomplishing all your good pleasure. It's about you, God. It's not about President Trump. It's about God. Verse 11, calling a bird of prey from the east because God got power over all birds. The man of my purpose from a far country, which he did. Trump is a man of God's purpose. Truly, I have spoken. Truly, I will bring it to pass. I've planned it. Surely, I will do it. Glory be to God. That's powerful. And if you fit verse 13, then this is for you. If you don't worry about it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded. Who are far from righteousness. If you are stubborn minded, he said, listen to me. I'm speaking this. Turn over to chapter 48. Please. Isaiah 48. And verse 11. And we'll close. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11. For my own sake, comma, for my own sake, comma, Trump is in office. For how can my name be profaned and my glory I will not give to another? Why is he in office? For God's own sake, for God's own sake. Why? For God's glory. Father God, we thank you for your word. It clears up everything. I pray that we receive your word tonight with gladness this morning. With gladness. We pray for President Donald J. Trump.
Yes,
sir. I pray that you save him, fill him with your precious Holy Spirit, and that he come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Help us to be more compassionate in our heart attitude toward President Donald J. Trump.
Yes,
let this mind be in us toward President Trump that is also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we accept your challenge, the Trump challenge today. And by your power and the might and the clarity of your word presented here today, we accept it and act on it. I thank you that our hearts and minds are being renovated, and instead what's being built up in there is your word, to love, to be respectful, to show dignity towards a man who's made after your image and your likeness. This we will do in Jesus' name. Amen.